Well, good morning. I am Jason. I'm the youth pastor. Pastor Harold and Kim are back. Pastor Harold's teaching our Connect class right now. So I'm excited, though, to continue this series, Daniel, Countering Culture. And today, as we look at chapter 6, I know I was thinking about this week, thinking about what we're about to talk about. And we're going to see Daniel face some persecution, some problems, a really challenging problem today. And I was trying to think about how we're going to apply this all to our lives today. And I was trying to think about what we face in our country, what persecution looks like for us. And I was struggling to think about this, not saying that we don't ever face any persecution or anything for our faith, but I was definitely struggling with what we face kind of in light of what Daniel faced in this story today. And it's maybe not as prevalent. I don't think any of us are going to get thrown in a lion's den today in our country for being here at church this morning. And so why is that? Some religious liberties in our country. We have some freedom to worship in a way. Maybe it's also because we don't live at times always the same way as Daniel did here in this passage as well. But as we look today at Daniel 6, we're going to see a test of Daniel's faith and really a good challenge for how we should live as believers. In some context and background before we jump into it, we see another new king today that Daniel is faced with. His name is Darius, and last week I mentioned as Babylon was falling, I mentioned that Darius was probably a co-regent with Cyrus, and I didn't mention that there is some debate with that. Some historians believe Darius here is Cyrus the Persian, and it's just another name for him, like a Babylonian name. Others believe that he's kind of a co-regent, like I mentioned. They believe he was perhaps a general in his army, the one who actually took Babylon, and Cyrus put him over that area of the kingdom. They believe he could have been a general whose name was also Gubaru. I think that's the coolest part of it, at least. What a great name, right? Like Gubaru, that's a pretty cool name. Either way, though, it doesn't change the interpretation here because history's not denying that Darius or Cyrus neither existed. Both did exist, and it's just whether it was one person or two here. But what we see in this passage is Daniel thriving in a culture that was spiritually hostile towards him. And the truth is, there is some hostility in our country towards us spiritually. Maybe you may face that persecution in your job, maybe with family, maybe at your school. But here, Daniel gives us a great example of how we as believers should live our lives and how we should face really any hostility we face and how we can trust in God to take care of us through life. So let's take a deep dive at Daniel's life and see this. But before we do, the themes we've been looking at Daniel, they're here in the passage again today. Our first theme is that God is sovereign. It's one of the themes of the book of Daniel. It's that God gives us free will to choose what we want to do, but because he's infinitely wise and powerful, he's able to work his eternal plan of saving people from their sin and hell and putting everything under Jesus' authority. And we'll see God sovereign in the story today. We'll also see how we can live for God in a hostile culture. And we're going to see Daniel's interaction with yet another pagan ruler today. And we're going to see how God sovereignly uses Daniel's life to be able to work through him so he can live in this hostile culture and ultimately make God known to a country. So today I want us to see how a believer must follow God. And the first way we have to do that is a believer must follow God with integrity. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. That these satraps," I think I'm saying that word right. If I'm not, oh well, none of us know. "Satraps, that they might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We will not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God." So Daniel was living with integrity. And here in verse 1, we see King Darius is setting these satraps. It's a Persian word for the protector of the realm. They're like governors. They are helping the king keep control over the vast empire. They would have been chosen out of maybe nobility or the royal family, and they were virtually like a mini king. They had a portion of the country that they would rule over. They would handle laws. They would handle a civil authority, and they would answer directly to Darius. And one of their primary functions was to collect taxes for him to make sure he was making money. And no doubt, this would be a temptation to perhaps steal from the king, to steal a little bit of money, embezzle from him. But Daniel, in this position, had a reputation of integrity. The Bible tells us in verse 2 that there were three commissioners who were appointed over these 120 governors. These guys, of which Daniel was one of them, their job was to make sure there was no corruption, no stealing going on. Now remember, Daniel, when we saw him last week, he was in the party room after telling Belshazzar what was going to happen, wearing purple royal garments, and yet somehow Daniel survived into this new kingdom. Typically, they would wipe the slate clean with all the old rulers in authority, but Daniel has survived through it yet again. These commissioners, though, were put in charge to account for the other leaders. They want to make sure they're not stealing from the king, make sure he's not losing money. And Daniel had a reputation among them of excellence. The Bible says when he was compared with them, when Daniel's character was compared with the other rulers, Daniel was distinguished among them. One author says integrity is often the first step in true greatness, and Daniel had integrity. He was distinguished among them. He was viewed differently than them. Webster's 1828 says that word distinguished means to ascertain or indicate difference by some external mark. The Bible says Daniel possessed an extraordinary spirit. It's often said that reputation is what men think about us, but that character is what God knows that we are. And Daniel had both. God knew who Daniel was and how he was serving him, and the people around him saw him as different as those who were also serving the king. Now, the king saw how Daniel served, and he planned to appoint Daniel to be in charge of the kingdom, directly under him. God was working in Daniel's life, and Daniel's about to get a promotion. Now, this promotion was how the king saw Daniel. Because of how the king saw Daniel work, he worked hard, he did his job well, he was good at it, but it was also because of who Daniel was working for. Daniel wasn't doing his work so that he could get a promotion. He wasn't working hard so he could be viewed as good in the king's eyes. Daniel was working so he could be viewed good in God's eyes. He was serving God with his life. And the challenge is the same for us as believers. Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." Whatever we do, whatever our work is on the earth, whether you're a student and you're going to school, you're an adult, you're clocking your 9-to-5 or whatever you're doing, we should do it for God. We should work ultimately like Daniel did to please God. We work hard to make God known through our work. And often, like for Daniel, blessings follow behind that. So the question is, who are we working for? Are we working for our own gain? Are we working to make ourselves known? Are we working to make ourselves look good, or God? Daniel was working to make God known. Our point in life is to know God more and then to make him known to others, even through the work that we do. And when we do our work faithfully, our faith will be seen in our work. The question for us is, how can we make God known through what we do, just like Daniel did? And you'll see here in verses 4 and 5 that Daniel had a reputation for serving God. So this promotion brought jealousy. The other rulers were jealous of Daniel, and maybe even more than jealous, I think they were probably a little bit afraid as well. More than likely, they maybe weren't doing their jobs as well. Maybe they were stealing money from the king, and Daniel wasn't going to let that happen if he was in charge. So Daniel's doing right threatened their wrongdoing. So they figured, we've got to devise a plan to get Daniel out of here. He's a problem. They don't like him. And they're like, we're going to catch him in some wrongdoing. We'll catch him that way. But they could find no accusation against him, no evidence, nothing that he was doing wrong. There was no corruption. Instead, all they found was Daniel being faithful to his job and also to God. Daniel was trustworthy. He was dependable. They couldn't find laziness in his business dealings. They couldn't find nothing shady, nothing neglectful. He did his job and he did it well. And so how would they get Daniel in trouble? Well, Daniel's life revealed, the reality of it was it revealed his faith. And the only accusation they could make against Daniel was that he served God. That all we can get is Daniel serves God. That's all they could accuse him of. Their statement makes it clear that Daniel was pretty public and open with his faith. They knew he served God. They knew the only way they could stop Daniel was by stopping his faith in God, which they couldn't do. So the way they could catch Daniel was to devise a plot where Daniel is going to have to choose between following God's law or following the law of the land, the Medes and Persians. And Daniel chooses to stand firm on his relationship with God. Question for us is there anything that an enemy could catch us on with our life? For Daniel, there wasn't. Not saying he never sinned, he was perfect, but he was living his life the right way for God. Another way to say this for us would be is if we were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict our lives on that? And it's a tough question. So a believer should also prioritize his faithfulness to God. This is how Daniel got where he was. Look at what happens next in our story. Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now, in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying, giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. So here are these men, jealous of Daniel. They come together to make a petition, to make prayer illegal to anyone but the king for 30 days. And so Darius sees all of his leaders come together, minus Daniel, and they're saying, hey, we've all got together. We all talked about this, king. We think this is a great idea. Let's not let anybody pray to anyone but you for 30 days. And he failed to notice that Daniel wasn't in the group. I don't know if you've ever felt like everyone around you is against you, but Daniel literally had this. All the other leaders are coming against him here. They'd consulted, not with Daniel, obviously, and their appeal to the king was, why don't you be God for a month? We'll let everybody pray to you. And so Darius was like, oh, that sounds all right. He signed it into a law. Now, the problem was the Medes and the Persians had another law that said once something was law, it can't be repealed. The king can't repeal it. There's no loopholes around it. It is locked in. There was no way around it now. Whoever prays to someone other than King Darius is getting fed to lions. If you're reading that and it's your first time and you're like, wait, what? Yes, they are going to throw them in a pit with lions. It was apparently a form of capital punishment back then that if you got the death sentence, you'd be thrown into a pit of hungry lions. So they come up with this crazy law with a crazy punishment because it was the only thing they could do to stop Daniel. The only way they could get him out of the way was to stop him, catch him praying to God. They knew that Daniel was going to serve God no matter what the law said. And if a law was made it illegal to pray today, would we still do it like Daniel? And you'll see, as believers, we have to be consistently making God a priority in our life. Verse 10 tells us that when Daniel knew this law was signed, he didn't change any of his habits. He went right back to it. So how's Daniel, what's he respond? What did he do? Well, he did what he's always done. He kept it up. And just a spoiler alert as we're getting in this, a great application for us is we should respond to trials, hardships, problems the same way Daniel did by going to God and praying. Daniel had a desire to seek God out immediately. And prayer's a pretty good place to start when we're being tempted or tested or going through hard times. Daniel was doing what he knew was right and trusting in God for the outcome. The Bible tells us at the end there, and it's kind of the key to this here, is it said as Daniel had been doing previously. He wasn't changing his habits. Instead, he was doing what he'd always done, praying three times a day with his windows open towards Jerusalem. Now, we know in 1 Kings it tells us that the Israelites were instructed when they were conquered and taken to other lands to pray back towards Jerusalem. But Daniel, as far as I can find nowhere, Daniel wasn't commanded to pray three times a day. So why did he? Well, most believe he wanted to be connected with God. He set a consistent time to pray consistently several times a day. Why? Because he was living in a pagan land filled with people who didn't serve God, people who didn't live for God, tempted to not live for God, and he needed God's power and strength to make it through life. The amount of times Daniel prayed wasn't necessarily the important thing here. It could have been five, it could have been two, but rather it was the fact that he was connecting consistently with God, communicating with him on a consistent basis. And Daniel was doing this before life got hard. This wasn't in defiance to the king. It wasn't, oh, you're going to make it illegal to pray, so I'm going to go pray. No, it was something he was already doing. It was the way his life was already being lived. Daniel knew that he needed God to get him through not just that situation, but through everyday life. In fact, Daniel's prayerfulness was the secret to power, his success that he has throughout this book. It was his relationship with God. And I think it's interesting, too, in that verse, it tells us that Daniel praised and thanked God. And I don't know about you, but I'm reading that, I'm like, Daniel, they just made it illegal to pray to anyone but the king, and you're facing a death sentence for this, and you're thanking God at this moment, but he's thanking God for how faithful he's already been. Even in the midst of impending danger, Daniel is taking a moment to praise and worship God and thank him for who he is. You know, Daniel could have done a lot of things here. He could have prayed in prayed in the basement, prayed in a closet somewhere. Don't pray open with your windows open everywhere, right? But Daniel was a man who'd been faithful to God for 80 years, and his integrity wasn't going to worry about what others thought or what others could do now. And so we'll see that a follower of God sometimes must endure persecution. Look at verse 11 as we pick up what happens to Daniel. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplications before his God. Then they approached and spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you signed, but keeps making his petition three times a day. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, recognize, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of his nobles, so that nothing would be changed in regard to Daniel. So Daniel's enduring this persecution, and we're seeing here that others watch our response to the problem. They found Daniel, his enemies, those other rulers, they found Daniel praying to God. And Daniel had looked away from his circumstances and decided to focus in on God. For Daniel, the issue was whether he was going to obey man, the laws that the king came up with, or whether he was going to serve God. And for Daniel, it was an easy decision. And I think it's interesting to know that they were watching Daniel, and they weren't the only ones. They were watching him pray and knew where he'd be praying, and they knew where to caught him, to catch him. But we also see King Darius watching, and later on others as well that are going to hear about Daniel's story. And you know, people are watching us as well. Other younger believers, kids are watching us, coworkers, neighbors, friends, family. They're watching to see how we respond to what we're going through in life, to see how we focus and serve God and whether we do or not. So these other rulers, they go to the king and they reaffirm the law. They say, King, remember that law you passed where people are praying to you? And he's like, oh yeah, I know that. And they're like, well, hey, Daniel, the Jewish exile, not Daniel, the guy you're going to make second in command, not Daniel, the one of our other fellow rulers, that really great guy that we all like, Daniel, that Jewish exile, he's praying to his God, not to you. So king, what are we going to do? And the king is deeply distressed because I think now he realizes he's messed up. And not just that, but he realizes he's been lied to. He's been deceived by his other rulers, and they've tricked him into coming up with this law. He's kind of seeing it all come right out here in front of his face, come to fruition and saying, hey, they did this to catch Daniel. And so he says in the verse that he tried to find a way to get Daniel out. He tried to find a loophole. And we remember, there is no loophole. There's no way around this law. Now, some suggest that maybe he was thinking of ways to, like, kind of complete it and throw Daniel in the lion's den, but keep him safe. He's like, maybe we could put Daniel in armor and the lions can't eat him. Maybe we can overfeed the lions so they won't be hungry. That's when his rulers come back to him and they're like, hey, king, can't do that. The law says he's got to go to the lion's den. And so the king chooses to uphold the law. So how does Daniel endure this persecution? How do we endure persecution when we go through it? Well, Daniel was cast into the lion's den, and the king tells him, I hope the God you constantly serve saves you. He mentions Daniel constantly served, that Daniel is constantly, in a present tense, always serving God in a worshipful manner. His life is about working for God as an act of worship, kind of like we talked about last week. So Daniel is thrown into this lion's den, and it's if you're thinking about it, it's probably what you're thinking about. It's a pit in the earth that had multiple caverns, and they'd put the lions in one, and they'd go in there, and they'd throw some food in, and then they'd open the door and get out before the lions got in there and feed them that way. And it had a nice hole in the top where you could peer down in, and that way they could throw the people that they were punishing down in there and let the lions eat them. That's kind of how it went. And so if you're thinking it's kind of like Star Wars, Jabba's palace, you know, looking down in the pit. If you don't know Star Wars or any of that, you can just ignore that reference. So how did Daniel respond to this life-threatening situation, though? Remember, these are hungry lions that are wanting to eat him. Well, we know that Daniel prayed, so his heart was right. And maybe Daniel was like, hey, God's 80-something years old. God's probably going to take me home through here. Maybe Daniel just knew that God was going to protect him, but either way, Daniel knew that God was in control. Whatever the outcome was, God was in control, and God was going to use it to make himself known through Daniel's situation. And so the question for us is, how do we handle persecution? Well, we can follow Daniel's example. Daniel's example was that you handle persecution by your previous consistent action. We have to be living for God now. We need to be spending time in God's word before things get bad, before we face trials, hard times, persecution. So then when we face them, we can continue doing it. If we wait until persecution starts or until things get bad, it's too late. We have to know that God is with us and he's empowering us and he's giving us the strength and ability when we need it to make it through situations. Like Daniel, we also have to know that God is getting the glory from these situations. Knowing that God can use our situation to help make himself known to other people through our lives. And then lastly, like Daniel, you've got to trust that he'll work all things out for good. Romans 8:28 tells us God's working all things out for good to those that love and serve God. And if you love and you serve him, God can make things work out the best in your life. Now, again, according to what he knows is best, and God created life, and he knows best how it should be lived, so he knows what's best for us, and he can use the bad things for good. Now, a follower of God, like Daniel, must trust in God's deliverance as well. Look at the what happens to Daniel here in verse 18. The Bible tells us, then the king went off to his palace, and he spent the night fasting, and no entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, the servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king, I've committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased, and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den. And they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed their bones. Now, we see that God is all-powerful and sovereign. The king couldn't sleep all night long knowing Daniel was in there. His conscience wasn't clear. He knew Daniel was a good guy who didn't do anything wrong, and he feels super guilty about what happened. One author says it's better to be a child of faith in a lion's den than to be a king without God in a palace. That's the truth of it. The king couldn't trust God because he didn't have a relationship with God. But as soon as the sun comes up, as soon as it is bright enough for him to go, the king gets up and he takes off for the lion's den. He's ready to see what the result was. Was Daniel's God able to protect him? Darius reaches the den and he cries out with a troubled voice. He's upset. He asks Daniel if he's okay. He calls Daniel a servant of the living God. And I think that's interesting because that phrase, living God, was used over 28 times in the Bible. And it really contrasts the lifelessness of the idols that Darius and the Medes and the Persians would have served versus the God who Daniel served. The God that was able to keep Daniel safe from these hungry lions. Daniel knew God could, and he had courage, trust, and faith in God. Daniel continued his walk with God, trusting that God could take care of him. Daniel trusted in God no matter what the outcome was. And I think even at this point, when Daniel replies, it's another great indication of Daniel's integrity. Because the king comes and says, Daniel, you okay? You good? You alive? Did your God protect you? And Daniel says, O king, live forever. He shows respect to the king, even in this situation. And I don't know about you guys, but if I spent the night in a pit with lions, and the person that threw me in there came to check on me in the morning, I don't know how you would respond, but I don't know that I would be the happiest to see that person there. But Daniel, I mean, check out this guy's integrity. He's still showing the king the respect that he should. And Daniel then tells the king how God saved him. He sent an angel, perhaps the angel of the Lord, to shut the lions' mouths, these hungry lions that they probably didn't feed for days, to make them hungry to, you know, eat the people they threw in there. It was typically how they did that. And God sent an angel to make the lions, not Daniel. Daniel gives all the glory, all the honor to God. And God can make himself known through our lives, through our situations. Verse 23 tells us the king was happy that Daniel trusted in God and that God saved him. There was no injury. Daniel was perfectly fine. Total deliverance. And God made himself known through Daniel's life. To who? Well, first to the king. The king got to experience Daniel's trustworthiness in his business dealings, but then he got to witness God's faithfulness to Daniel. The king saw that God was sovereign over lions. And if you're wondering how powerful those lions are, well, we see the outcome with those that conspired against Daniel in verse 24. We also see that God punishes evil. Now, the law of the Medes and Persians did also say this, that on account of the guilt of one person, all his kindred, his family, must perish. This was their law. So the king had all those that conspired against Daniel, those rulers, and their whole families thrown into the lion's den. And if you want to see the power of those lions, the Bible says that the lions overpowered them before they even reached the bottom of the pit. And God was powerful enough to make those lions that were that hungry show Daniel no harm. But when those that were evil were thrown in, they were gone before they reached the bottom. And I want us to understand as well here, though, is that God punishes evil. And sometimes it's in an evident, really easy to see way and happens quickly. And sometimes it doesn't happen as quickly as we would like it to happen, especially when someone's evil against us. But if we remember about what God's done for us in our sin, the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned. We've all broken God's laws, every single person who's lived. And the Bible tells us that because of that sin, God has to punish us. The wages or what we deserve for that sin is death. And that death is eternal separation from God in hell. It's spiritual death. When we die on earth here, we're separated from God in a place called hell for eternity. That's what we deserve. But that verse goes on and tells us that the free gift is Jesus. Jesus died on the cross to pay that death for us, to pay for that sin, to pay that debt we owed for our sin. Jesus died the death we were supposed to face. And God says, if you're a sinner, you can have a relationship with him. It's as easy as having a conversation with God and accepting his free gift. And if that's something that you're here and you've never done that before, I'd love for you to grab me after, grab Pastor Harold. We'll be in the lobby. We'd love to explain that more. And if that's something you have done already, you have that relationship with God. The challenge for us is we have a mission as believers, and it was the same one Daniel was on. And it's our last kind of point here, is that a follower of God must share what God's done. Look at how this story about Daniel ends. Then Darius, the king, wrote to all the peoples, nation, and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has also delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So we see that we must share what God's done for us and that God must get the glory. You see, Daniel's life was all about knowing God and making God known. And we keep mentioning that throughout this series, but if we're living life God's way, if we're living the way we're supposed to be, our lives have the power to be a great tool to help us introduce God to people. Now here, one of the first people that learns more about God through Daniel's life is King Darius. And some believe Darius trusted in God and had a relationship with God. We won't know for sure until we get to heaven one day and see if Darius is there or not. And honestly, I think we could be shocked by the people that are in heaven and maybe shocked by those that aren't there. But you see, Darius shared the message of what happened, not just with people he talked to, but he sent it out throughout the entire 120 provinces. Sent it out to all the people and said, you need to know Daniel's God. And you never know the impact that your life will have on unbelievers that are watching you. There's always someone watching, so live your life so that those that are watching you see God. And when God does amazing things, share it. You know, God got the glory for what happened here, not Daniel, not Darius. And we need to remember the story as we walk through persecution, as we walk through trials and hard times, that God can get the glory from our life. And it's hard to say and hard to think about, but perhaps that hard time you're going through, God wanted it to happen. Perhaps he wanted you to lose that job or lose that friend or not be on that sports team or whatever it is, God wanted it to happen. Maybe because he wants to make himself known through you. Maybe he's going to work in an awesome way that you can share with someone else. You see, they had just witnessed God do something amazing for Daniel, and now it's being shared. And just like that, we must make God known with our lives. So the question is, what has God done in your life? Has he done something extraordinary? Great, share it. Has he done something ordinary? That's also great. Share it. Has he saved you? Because that's pretty extraordinary right there, right? Like taking us dead from dead spiritually to alive spiritually is a pretty amazing thing. What a great thing to share with others. Have you taken a moment and thanked God for what he's done for you? Honestly, it can be great to write down the things that God's done and take a moment and thank him and praise him for that and then share it with others. Our faith isn't supposed to be a private thing that we hide and keep to ourselves. Because if God's worked in your life, he maybe did it so you can share it with someone else and help them as well. Daniel's story was shared with literally everyone, and our story needs to be shared too. Share what God has done. And then lastly, you end with verse 28 there, and we must continue letting God use us. The Bible says Daniel enjoyed success. He kept doing what made him successful in life, and God blessed him for it. All throughout the book, Daniel's kept doing what was right, and God's kept blessing him. Whether life is good or bad, easy or hard, we need to keep doing what we're supposed to do as Christians. What is that? We need to read the Bible. We need to be in God's word. We need to spend time praying, share the gospel, serve him. When life is easy, we should serve God. When it's hard, we should serve God. And when God works in our lives, we should share it. Many people have a hard time in life, and that brings them back to God. And then as soon as life gets easy again through it, they fall away again. And you see, Daniel could have stopped serving God after this traumatic experience, spending a night with lions. He could have easily been like, you know what? I'm old, dealt with lions, done. I take a break. I'm retiring from serving God. But he didn't do that. So don't let life stop us from serving God as well. You know, Daniel in the lion's den is a favorite story for many people. It's kind of a crazy story about one guy who, having faith and integrity in God, God works miraculously through him to be able to make God known to a nation. And so what should we walk away with? Well, I've got some questions that help us apply this to our lives, and here's our takeaways. I've got some from each of our themes. And from our first theme of God's sovereignty, what do we take away? Well, ask yourself this question. Do you trust that God will take care of you? All throughout the Bible, it tells us that God can provide for us in different ways. Philippians 4 tells us God can supply your needs. Romans 8 says God's working through you and can work things out for good. 2 Corinthians tells us God gives us comfort. Do you trust that God can take care of your life and give you what you need when you need it? Do you trust that God knows what's best for you? How do you grow that trust? Well, these next three questions here help that from our second theme, how to live for God in a hostile culture. And the first one is, do you know God? Because none of this is possible without that. I mentioned earlier how you can have a relationship with God and what Jesus has done for us. And without that relationship with God, none of this is possible. But God loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And the challenge for you is if you've never done that before, please make that choice. Follow God. Secondly, if you've done that, are you walking with God consistently? Daniel made a choice to draw near to God often and consistently. He prayed 3 times a day. Are you communicating with God consistently? Are you in his word? Are you at church? You can't live for God in a hostile culture if you're not growing closer to God. And lastly, are you making God known? What's God doing in your life? How's he been working? Have you shared it? Do your coworkers or your teammates or your classmates know that you follow God? Does your family know you're a believer? Is your relationship with God the only thing that an enemy could hold against you? Make it your goal to make God known at work, school, or in everyday life. As we wrap all this up, many people say the phrase, I've heard it said often, dare to be a Daniel. And it's a pretty great saying summing up his life. A great challenge for all of us to live like Daniel. So let's serve God boldly, and let's trust in God no matter what happens in our lives. At this time, let's go ahead and stand. We'll close in prayer. Thank God for what he's done.